As I mentioned, this is Dave Ellis. This is the second call in a series of three calls, which is the fourth time I've done a telecourse on leadership. Each telecourse has been different. Each one has presented different topics. The topic of this telecourse is focused on problem solving and using advanced coaching skills in our leadership. Today's call specifically is focused on using coaching skills to assist people to solve problems, to assist others to solve problems. I'll start the call in a minute, and when I do, I will mute you so that you don't have to listen to everybody's background noise. But before I put you on mute, I'd like to have just a few more of you who have not yet checked in, check in. So please say your first and last name and where you're calling from.
Excuse me, Dave Held Walker, Sturgis, South Dakota.
Steve Farr, Sacramento.
Sean DeBias, Chicago, Illinois.
Alice Joe Christie,
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Joe Christie in Boston.
Julie Jacobs in Alexandria, Virginia.
Eddie Souza in North Carolina.
Toledo, California.
Now I put you on mute. So if you're still checking in, thank you very much. It was great to hear that we've got people from all across the United States, a couple from Canada, and thank you for taking the time to be with us. Tomorrow I will send you instructions again on how to listen to this call, because some of you who are participating live might want to hear it again. I'm going to give you three different ways to listen to the call when I send that out tomorrow. One is by calling into our audio podium. I sent that information out 2 weeks ago to those of you who had signed up by then. Also, within about 10 minutes of the finishing of this call, it will be posted on iTunes. If you've already subscribed to iTunes in this podcast, you go there and just hit the refresh button in the lower right-hand corner of your screen, and this podcast will be available immediately. Also, after tomorrow, you can go to DaveEllis.tv. DaveEllis.tv is a new web portal. You type in my name and a dot and TV and then nothing else, no .com. And you go there, and there's all kinds of short clips of video that really highlights the best of my teaching over the last 15 years. And at the very bottom of all those clips will be a recording of today's call, not a video recording, but an audio recording. In order to make this time most useful, and I'm sure that that's what you want to do, because obviously you wouldn't have taken your time out of a very busy day, I want to remind you that this really is an interactive call. Even though at this point we have over 50 people on the call, even though over 300 people have registered for the call, so maybe we'll have close to 100 people actually join within the next few minutes. But even though there are a lot of people on the call, it's very important that it be interactive and that you listen as if it's just you and me and a couple of our friends on this call. The reason I ask that you listen that way is so that you get maximum value, so that what you do is you participate in a way that it's as if there's just you and me and, as I said, a few others. Now, the way you can do that is we can actually interact with each other, and you can raise your hand because I do want to hear from you. And the way you raise your hand is you hit *61 on your phone. And what happens is on my computer screen in front of me, I have a list of all of you, all of your phone numbers, what time you called in. Some of you just called in 43 seconds ago. Somebody from area code 562. Somebody from area code 519 just called in 49 seconds ago. But whenever you called in, if you hit *61 on your phone, a little hand pops up next to your name. And the advantage of that for me is that I can know that you want to say something. Now, if you change your mind, just hit *61 and your hand lowers. That's not the only way that you can participate with me. You can also text me on my telephone at 415. Please write this down. 415-497-2785. Love to hear your instant messages. You can also instant messages me with either AOL Instant Messaging or iChat. And my screen name is Dave Ellis 3. So Dave Ellis and the number 3@mac.com. You can also email me. I'm going to check my email all through our call. You can email me at dave@daveellisleadership.com. Now, let's say you're listening to this, not live, but the recording. I still want to hear from you. Very important for me to hear from you. I heard from a lot of you after the last call, and a lot of you that actually listened to the recording, and it was a thrill. Matter of fact, I want to tell you all a couple of the things I heard, because it's like my payment to know that you're making such a difference with this information. One woman wrote, she said, I'd like to share with you the creative seed that formed after listening to you this morning, the recording, and then participating in the exercise. That exercise of problem solving where you had to stand, turn around, open our eyes, and see the first thing, name it, and then modify it into a solution. She said, I saw a small triangular banner stuck into a flower box blowing in the wind. My intention is to become more visible with my professional offerings, wave my banner, draw beautiful attention to me in a manner that says, I have what you want, let's laugh and sing. I can learn to be at peace within myself, feel inner strength and core confidence. So it was great to get that. Somebody that listened to the recording. Another woman today wrote me, she said, I listened to the recording and about a third of the way through the call, you asked us to write an intention about our ability to solve problems. I wrote, solving problems is more fun and profitable if I use the solutions to help others. She says, also, thank you for pointing out and reaffirming that I've been discovering what I've been discovering, but I didn't know how to express it, which is that when I feel as though I've gotten a problem to deal with, and I wonder, why have I been given this problem? Is it because something's wrong with me? She wrote, no. I've been given these problems because I'm strong and capable, insightful, empathetic, and I simply need to learn how to find the solutions. Because I'm not the only person dealing with debilitating problems that seem overwhelming. So it's those kind of comments from you that I just love. Whether you send them to me right now or you send them to me after the call. So please, make this interactive. The other thing I want you to do is to have paper and pencil. So if you don't have it now, please get it. Because I'm going to, like all these calls, I'm going to ask that you think and write. I'm going to give you time for exercises. And I want you to take notes. Even if you never read your notes, I want you to take them because it will bring you more present. I know that a lot of people listen to conference calls like this and telecourses with kind of one ear listening and then and one ear doing something else. Sometimes that something else is opening mail or reading email or vacuuming the floor. I don't know what you're doing besides this, but please don't. If you really can't give me your undivided attention, I recommend you hang up and give whatever else you're doing your undivided attention, even if it's vacuuming or answering your emails. But to just do what you're doing when you're doing it, to be where you are when you're there. The reason I'm asking for that is your undivided attention is because I come here to create value. It's the only reason I'm with you. I don't get paid for this. You didn't pay for it. I don't get paid for anything that I do, but that's another longer story. What I get paid, the way I get paid is you creating value. All right, well, that's how I'm asking you to listen. And I noticed that so far nobody's raised your hand, but you know, you can raise your hand at any time because you might have just heard me say something that kind of sparks you and teaches you something. The purpose of this call, and I've come up with a new purpose since the last time I mentioned it to you. The purpose of this call is to assist you to dramatically and permanently improve your leadership. Now, I added dramatically and permanently because I actually think it's possible. I think it's possible for you to use a telecourse to make that big of a shift in your life. So it's to assist you to dramatically and permanently improve your leadership by presenting my best ideas on leadership and asking you to invent and then commit to your best ways to be a more effective leader. So it's not just a matter of me presenting and you listening, you being a student, me being a teacher. Please don't let that happen during this next 50 minutes that we have together. What I want you to do is be a co-inventor. Today, in specific, as I mentioned at the very beginning, and I know several of you just joined, so you didn't hear me, but today's call specifically is focused on ways that you can assist others to solve problems. Also, I want to mention that this call is in preparation for a training that I'm giving in January, and the focus of that training is solving your biggest problem and also developing your coaching skills. So even if you don't want to develop coaching skills, we have one track of this 3-day workshop for just solving your biggest problem. We have another track for this 3-day workshop for developing your advanced coaching skills. It's in Sonoma, California. It's 3 days long, and I'd love you to be there. It's like a think tank. Now, some of you I know have said, well, wow, it's $1,000. That's a lot of money. But please do not let the money stand in your way. We've got scholarships. We've got an adjustable schedule that if you don't get as much coaching and you pay less, we just want you there. And, yes, we do need to make some money on this because I can't continue to work for nothing forever. Well, actually, I'm going to work for nothing forever, but my colleagues won't, so we do need to bring in some money. You can find out more about this by going to DaveEllisLeadership.com, or if you're at all interested, please call one of my colleagues. I want to give you two phone numbers. So if you're at all, maybe you might want to come to this January training, the 18th to the 20th, then please call Joanne Bangs. And Joanne Bangs is on the call, and her number is 605-390-2275. Joanne has been at every one of my trainings for the last decade. We've worked together for a very long time. Or you could call Bill Rentz, 605-390-2343. Now, I noticed that somebody had their hand up on my screen, but then they lowered it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to now go on, and in a few minutes I'll say again, and raise your hand if you've got something to say, because I would like to hear from you. And since somebody has raised his or her hand, I'm just going to call on you. Please say your first and last name, where you're calling from. So as soon as you get unmuted, say your first and last name, where you're calling from, and then say whatever it is that you raised your hand to say. Go ahead.
Hello, Dave. This is John here in Vancouver, Canada. And I'm intrigued by your comment that you never get paid for anything. I really admire that, but I know some other top people that do that. But most of us, you know, aren't in the position to do that. I'd like to know what your philosophy is.
I read a book once from a woman who's reissuing this book. The book's about 10 years old, but it's being reissued. And the book is called Your Money or Your Life. Great book by Vicki Robin and Joe Dominguez. And Your Money or Your Life is coming out in a reissue in about a month, updated information. I encourage you to get it. And one of the principles that she teaches is how we can all become financial independent. We can become financially independent even if we don't have a lot of money. And financially independent, from her definition, is when you can then work for the rest of your life for humanity and not for a paycheck. Now, some people do that by really cutting back their monthly expenses and saving enough that their savings can cover their monthly expenses. That's what she recommends. Other people, and I was fortunate enough, do that by making a whole lot of money, so I really didn't have to cut back my monthly expenses, but I also knew when enough was enough. And I put away enough and then said, I don't have to work for money again. And I took that on, and I have not gotten a paycheck or any form of compensation, financial compensation, for the last 15 years. And barring some tragedy, I plan to do that for the rest of my life. Thanks for the comment, and now I want to talk about coaching skills and how they can be applied to leadership positions, and particularly in helping people to solve problems. Now, Some of you are coaches, your life coaches, your executive coaches, your leadership coaches. And I ask that those of you who identify yourself that way, listen with this question. Even write it down. In what ways can I become more effective as a coach assisting others to solve problems? So if you're a coach, write down the question, how can I become more effective, particularly at helping others solve problems? Now, some of you don't identify yourself as a coach, but I want you to identify yourself as a leader because I believe you are. I believe every one of you on this call is a leader. By my definition, I hope by yours, which is that you want something bad enough to ask others to help you get it and ask others to also want it. I want you to think about your leadership role and then ask yourself today, in what ways can I become more effective as a leader who assists others in problem solving? You can write it in your own words, but again, somehow say this. Write down this question so you can see it, not just hear me ask it. And you can see it over and over again through this call and beyond. In what ways can I become more effective as a leader who assists others in problem solving? Now, for the first exercise of the call, I'd like you now to write down one or two answers to that question. I realize some of you are thinking, hey, wait a minute, I thought that's what the call was for. Yes, this is what the call is for. It's to get you to invent great answers to that question. Now, I'm going to give you my ideas. I've got 13 really good ones. But, no, I just want to give you those ideas to help you think. Not to be your thinker. So I'm going to be quiet for an entire minute, and I want you to write down one or two good answers to that question of how can I assist others to solve problems. I'll be quiet now for 1 minute. If you're listening to the recording of this call, please write down the answer. If you're driving, please pull off the road soon and write down the answers to that question. I'll be quiet now for 1 minute. Please write now. I'm amazed at how long 1 minute is. I timed it with my stopwatch. That really was a minute. And I'm thinking that several of you were surprised by what you wrote, and I'd like to hear a few. So please, if you wrote down something that you're willing to speak and share with us, maybe it's an idea that you think is just brilliant, or maybe it's just an idea that you think is a little goofy, but you'd like to tell us, please raise your hand with *61. And then what I'll do is I'll call on you, so as soon as you hear your phone is unmuted, then just say your first and last name, where you're calling from, and give us one of the answers to your question.
Hi, Dave. This is Laura. I'm in Mill Valley, and I'm going to say a couple of them because they go hand in hand. One of the things I can do is I can know that their problems are solvable. And then another one is I can tell the truth about how I can help and how I can't help, what area of expertise I have and don't have.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Laura, because what Laura's mentioned, I think, could go on each of your lists. And by the way, Laura, neither one of your ideas Well, only one of your ideas I don't even have on my list. One of them I do, which is to have confidence in the other person, to know that their problems are solvable. It's so important that, you know, that confidence, when somebody's in the thick of it, when they're struggling, to have another person be have confidence in them and their ability is really valuable. And then I love your idea of telling them what you can, how you can help, and also telling them how you can't. And it wasn't on my list, but I wish it was, because a lot of times people come to me. I've been a philanthropist at different times in my life, and I've given away a lot of money, and sometimes people come to me with a problem. They want me to help them solve it, and one of the things they're kind of hoping secretly I'll do is provide money. So it's very important that I start off saying, well, I help you think, and, you know, one thing I can't do is help you financially. Thanks a lot, Laura. I'd like to hear from another couple of you. Just say your first and last name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, hi, Dave. This is Sam Daly Harris. I'm calling from Princeton, New Jersey. I wrote down acknowledge people more for where they are and what they've already accomplished. I wrote share the problems I'm currently focused on solving myself. And the last one I wrote was continually assist people to see the bigger picture, the greater context, the brilliance they inherently want to be.
That's great, Sam. And I know that's what you do in your work. And it's, and I also think it's a great technique for helping people solve problems. So now all of you on this call, as you listen to Sam with his three great ideas, as you listen to Laura with her two great ideas, please use those and modify them and write them down, not like Sam mentioned it or Laura mentioned it, but in your own words, if you like the idea. So use what you hear from others to invent. I want to hear from one more of you. Go ahead. First and last name, and where you're calling from.
This is Lorna. I have two. One is help them articulate the real problem, because often what they think is the problem doesn't turn out to be when they explore it. And the second one is give up my own fear that they won't find a solution.
Yeah. Lorna's... The second suggestion is a little bit like Laura's first suggestion, which is that if you don't have confidence in the other person, then give up your own fear. Because if you are sitting there with fear and thinking, well, I don't know if this person's really going to do it or not, it will come through, and it won't be nearly as helpful to them. Thanks, Laura. And one more. I just can't hardly pass by a raised hand. So go ahead.
Hello, this is Cliff McKnight from Frederick, Maryland. My idea would be to invoke the creativity of the individual by asking them what would they imagine an expert coach or an outstanding leader that they might not otherwise have access to, what might they imagine they would suggest?
Yeah, thanks, Cliff. I love that idea. I love that idea. It's one of the ones that you're going to hear a variation on in just a minute. So now what I'd like to do is present to you my 13 best ideas on how you can assist others in problem solving, and I'll stop periodically and ask you to take these and put them in your own words and then write them down and commit to them, because just hearing these ideas won't make any difference. My first idea, set aside time for solving the problem. Now, so often people try to tackle a big problem in 10 minutes. And if somebody comes to you for help, and you only have 10 minutes and you know it's a big problem, then use most of that 10 minutes just letting them talk to you and schedule time with you to solve the problem. Because I believe it does disservice to people to somehow buy into their myth that they can solve a big problem in a couple of minutes. And it does a disservice to you and your ability to lead people and to assist them to try and do it in just a couple of minutes. It's like taking only one-third of the penicillin prescribed or whatever the antibiotic is. It can easily make the infection worse because the infection develops resistance. Similarly, I believe that people, when they try to solve problems too quickly, develop resignation. And resignation is, of course, the opposite of what you want to help them do. It's like Sam said, what you want to do is you want them to be able to see the very big picture. You want them to be able to zoom out and take a look around and be inspired. It's really what Cliff said. You want them to be able to take the time to listen to the experts that live within them. And all this, it takes time. So, now there's one idea I have, which is to set aside time for the solving of the problem, for you to assist them. Now, let's say you don't like that idea very much. Well, don't write it down. Let's say you like it. Well, then write it down in your own words and make it yours. Don't make it Dave's idea. It's your idea now, once you write it down. And if you really like it, then write some kind of a commitment, like I will do this for myself, or I will mention this every time people come to me with a problem. I won't try and solve one of their biggest problems in 10 minutes before the next meeting. Well, here's my idea number two, which is to listen fully to the other person describing the problem. And listen for a lot longer than you probably usually do. I know that you want to be helpful, but I believe that this is one of the most helpful ways that you can be. And often, this is all that's needed. I discovered this when I was teaching computer programming. Some of you know my history is I taught at a university computer science for 6 years before I got into this business of developing leaders and helping people vision their future. And when I was teaching computer programming, this is what happened so often. A student would come into my office and she would or he would put down the code from the computer. This was back in the days when we were programming in Fortran and PL1 and COBOL and assembler language. And the student would put down the program and say, man, I'm just stuck. I just cannot figure this out. And I'd say, well, thanks for coming and letting me help you. Tell me what's happening. The student would say, well, see, I right here on this code, first of all, I input this data, and then I skip over to this subroutine, and then I have this logic here, and then I go into this loop, this looping logic, and then I, oh, I see what I did. Oh, that's the problem. Oh, wow, thank you. Thank you so much for helping me. And the student walks out. I cannot tell you how many times this happened. It got to be comical. Student would come in, I'd say, well, describe the problem. Right in the middle of describing the problem, they see the solution, they thank me, they think I'm brilliant, they walk out. And I said nothing. Now, it doesn't always happen, of course, but use that technique. Technique three, affirm the person and the problem. Now, I think the idea behind this is to normalize the problem. Remove, that's the kind of the psychological term, normalize. It means remove any guilt or shame that the person has in having the problem. It was like that first, I read that feedback earlier today that when the woman wrote, is there something wrong with me that I have this problem? No. You have this problem because you're strong and capable, insightful. That's why you have the problem. So let them know that in many ways it's great that they have the problem. And of course it's a pain, but it's great. And if they are upset, you say something like, well, no wonder you're upset. If they're mad, you say, well, no wonder you're mad. Who wouldn't be mad with this? So it's kind of that no wonder, it's the having it be fine. You can say something like, well, I can totally see why you would be frustrated or mad or sad or angry or whatever it is. So those are kind of some key words. Of course, you can put them in your words, but it's normalizing. It's affirming the person. It's affirming their power. It's affirming the fact that they have the problem. I'm going to give you one more idea, and then I'm going to give you time to think and write. Feedback the problem as a goal. So you listen to the problem and then see if you can turn it into a goal for the person. So it goes something like this. The person says, well, I can't get to work on time. You can see it. You can feed it back, and you say, ah, I see. So what you want is you want to get to work on time. Or, oh, I see, you want to be more effective. Or a person says, my boss and I fight constantly. You could feed it back and say something, oh, I see, so you want a good relationship with your boss. Or maybe you want a different boss. Another, somebody comes with you, I never have enough time to get all my work done. Might want to feed back, well, so you want more time. Or you want less work. Now, I'm not suggesting you always have to do this. Sometimes you don't feed it back as a goal, you just feed it back as a problem. But you send the problem or the goal back to the person so that they know you really understand where they're headed. And where they're headed is the solution or a goal. Well, those are four ideas. I've got nine more that are way better even than those. But I want to pause for a minute because, as I told you at the beginning of this call, this is time for you to create your own ideas and write some intentions about how you're going to be more effective as a coach of leaders or as a leader. In both cases, helping people solve problems. So I'm going to be quiet again for a minute. I'll be quiet only for 45 seconds this time because I want you to write down two or three intentions. These are statements that start with I intend to, or I plan to, or I promise to, something like that. I want you to think back on what you have heard about ways to solve problems, what you've just invented, what you've heard from me, what you've heard from Laura and Lorna and Sam and Cliff, and then write down some intentions about how you will be different at the end of this call. I'll be quiet now for 45 seconds. If you're listening to the recording, of course, write them down again. Please begin. Now, if you have an intention that you're willing to share, I'd like you to raise your hand with *61. And there were a couple of other people that already raised their hand, so I'm going to call on you. Now, if you do raise your hand and you decide that you no longer have some, you don't want to say that anymore, you can lower it with *61. And I'd like to hear from a few of you, just so I know that that you are doing this co-invention with me. Once you hear yourself being unmuted, just say your first and last name and then either your question or comment or your intention. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Cheryl Campbell from Silver Spring, Maryland. I just wanted to make a comment earlier. It had to do with how you would create, I would create a safe space for the person to speak their problems. Just so that they know they would not feel reprimanded. And it's related to how you said a student would come into you and then start speaking. And in the middle, they would solve their own problem. But they were able to do that because they felt safe.
Yeah, very good, Cheryl. I think that's important because otherwise nobody thinks well if they don't feel safe. I called on someone else, and you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
This is Shirley Martin from Waterloo, Canada. I just want to say that a little bit back, you talked about listening deeply, and this is the second time that you've done this call, and I appreciate the changes because it has hit me in a different and new way. And all of a sudden, I realized that for the first time, I'm okay with the way that I do coaching and that my calls are an hour long instead of the standard half hour. And I was always thinking I was doing it wrong until I went, no, wait a minute, it's the way I listen between, to the energy, to the spaces between the words, to the words, to all kinds of things. And it, Jesus gave me a freedom to continue and go, wow, I do a great job. So my intention was I promised to be confident and at peace with my coaching methods.
Yeah, wow, thank you, Shirley, because I believe that when you are confident, it comes across, and it does sometimes take a little longer to help people solve their own problems than to just give them a solution. But when they come up with their own, because you listen, they're much more likely to implement it. Thanks, Shirley. Next person, what's your intention? Your name, where you're calling from, and your intention.
Hi, Dave. This is Karen Buckley from Mill Valley. My intention is now to watch and observe the excitement that builds in my belly when I am listening to someone describe their problem, because I have this impulse to want to help. And once that impulse to help starts to build, it's all I can do to keep listening to them. So my intention is to observe that excitement and to love it. I love that impulse that I have to help, and at the same time to let it be part of my listening rather than part of my talking and giving advice.
Oh, great, Karen. Yeah. Now, I'm guessing as you listen to Karen, also to Shirley, that you could add to your intentions, because that's why we're here on the phone together. It's not to listen to my good ideas, and I'm going to give you some more in a minute, but it's really for you to take your own good thinking and my good thinking and everybody that you hear and create new intentions so that maybe you, like Karen, will wait a little longer. Notice that excitement to help, but wait a little longer. Or like you're like Shirley, you'll really promise to bring your confidence and to be very clear that the way you're doing it is effective. One more. What's your intention?
Hi, Dave and Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hey there. First, I was naming that I will listen fully and affirm and feedback what the person wants by flipping the problem. And then my next intention was I intend to affirm that the coaching process and I as a coach can be a transformative instrument even when, especially when, I don't have the answers.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great, Heidi, because I don't know the answers. People come to me. I mean, I've coached doctors, medical doctors. I've coached an NBA coach. I don't know anything about basketball. When I don't know the answer, sometimes I'm the best coach because I don't have that pull to rush in and give my best ideas. Well, thinking about my best ideas, here's a few more. I recommend that you get clarity about what life could look like when the problem is solved. That you ask, rather not you, but you ask the person you're assisting to talk about what life would be like if the problem were solved. Now, this is just another way to help them think creatively. So you say, well, what would it feel like if this problem were solved? And that gives them the joy of having the reason to do all the work to get it solved. And what would life be like with the problem side of? What would life look like? So you ask them to paint a picture of the future with the problem solved. Next idea, one we've already heard from several of you, which is to express confidence in the other's ability to solve it. And you express confidence by getting rid of your own doubt, doing your own personal work to know that people are brilliant. You express confidence with your eyes, with your breathing, with your posture, because you're relaxed, and with your words, of course, you express confidence, but not just with your words, because people will pick up mostly on your being, on your attitude, or you know what's emanating from you. So make sure that you speak your confidence in their ability to solve problems and that you have it. Now, what if you don't? You know, I think Lorna mentioned, well, you get help to get over it, but that's true. But let's say you just can't. You got somebody that you're trying to help, and no matter what you do, you just don't feel confident, then get them somebody else. Don't try and help somebody that you think is not very good, not very smart, not very competent, because your attitude about them will permeate them, and it will be a disservice to them. They'll have to leave and somehow shake that off. And you don't want, you know, that you're just adding another problem to their problem. Next idea is to ask the other person to generate a few solutions and then allow silence. So after a while, and they presented their problem, then you just say, well, now let's generate some, would you generate some solutions? And then be quiet. Just look at them with that great expectation, with that wonder, with that curiosity, with that excitement about what great idea is going to pop out of their mouth. Now, sometimes they're stuck, of course. Well, if they're stuck, here's some ideas. First of all, ask them for crazy solutions. This generally gets the juices flowing. Just say, well, I got it that you haven't thought of any good ones or that you don't think you've come up with any, but give me some crazy ones. Now, of course, don't throw that in there until you've given them a lot of time. Sometimes, after you say ask them for some solutions, I like to count inside my head to 10, real slowly, without moving my lips, because that really gets distracting to the other person. But, in other words, really take the time, and then just think. Now, sometimes they'll say, well, I just can't think of anything. Then you could say, well, I know you can't, but if you could think of something, what would you think of? And they kind of laugh. Or another way you could do it is you could set a time. You could say, okay, well, now we've only got 2.5 minutes, so I want you to come up with as many solutions as you can possibly think of in 2.5 minutes. Get them into that brainstorming, or maybe it's 3 minutes or 4 minutes, but a short amount of time. And remind them that in brainstorming, they go for quantity, not quality. They piggyback on their own ideas. They postpone evaluation. Or, if they're just totally stuck and can't generate solutions, use the idea that Cliff mentioned a little earlier, which is have them invoke someone who they really trust, a leader that they know, a person that they can invoke could be alive or dead, but they just have them just set a wise person in a chair and ask that wise person for a solution. Next major idea is now when you hear the other person with coming up with their own solutions, take their solution and send it back to them. And polish it up on the way. Now, sometimes, in other words, if they give you a solution and you take it and if you possibly can say, great, good idea, and then repeat what they said, and even repeat it with a little polish, a little sparkle. Because oftentimes, I use this all the time with people, and I'll say, well, give me a solution. And they'll say something really brilliant. And then they'll just go on to say something else. And I'll say, whoa, wait a minute, that's a really good idea. That's brilliant, as a matter of fact. Did you hear what you just said? You just said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That is so good. Now, you can't fake it. If you don't think it's so good, don't say that. Don't say that, for sure. But if you listen carefully, I think you probably can hear the wisdom in almost anything that comes out of the solver's mouth. Now, once in a while, you can't. In which case, say something like, okay, thank you. That's another solution. Now let's come up with another one. You don't have to say it's a good one or a bad one. You just say, well, that's another one. Thank you. You're still thinking. Now tell me another one. So you're encouraging there, not the solution, because once in a while, you know, I do hear solutions. I just think, whoa, where'd you come up with that? I hope you don't ever implement it. But that's just my mind. Who knows? It might actually be a good one, and it's just only my small thinking that doesn't see the wisdom of it. So, I don't want to harm that solution. I don't want to impose my judgment, my negative judgment on them. I don't mind imposing my positive judgments because so far it seems like that just helps people. But if I think it's a bad idea, I don't want to tell them it's a bad idea. I'll just say, hey, that's another solution. Now, give me another one. Of course, there are some times when somebody recommends something that is illegal, immoral, unethical, in my opinion, I will tell them. I will. I'll say, no, you know, you might be kidding, you might not be, but we don't want to put that one down because that would be illegal. But now, how about if we vary it a little bit? Because I know sometimes you feel like killing him, but that would be illegal. So let's see that we want to not kill him, but we want to eliminate that part of him that causes this really serious problem. So you could take it, if you can, and change it around a little. My next idea. You or the other person capture the solutions in writing. Sometimes you ask the person, say, okay, oh, that's a good one, write that one down. And by the person writing it down, they're more likely to remember it because they've got it through their hands, they're seeing it, they're more likely to implement it. Or, often I write them down. I do a lot of this problem solving with people on the phone, and I'll write down their solutions, and then sometimes I'll even send them an email with the solutions that they've written. But a lot of my clients will take the time, and I'll hear them either typing or I'll just kind of have the sense that they're writing. And before I jump in, sometimes I'll say, well, are you writing? And they'll say, yes. So I'll just stop. Just let them write. We go to the next idea, which is similar to the one I mentioned before, and that is to ask the other person to generate even more solutions. Now, the reason I want you to write, that I like to have this as a second, another idea. My first idea was to ask the other to generate a few solutions. But then eventually, push them a little. Gently, lovingly, but pushing. To get even more solutions. Because, as I mentioned on the last call, I mean, I think if a problem is worth taking the time to solve, it's worth taking the time to find 20 solutions for it. So, press them a little bit. See if they can come up with even more, because often those later solutions are the best ones. I've got four more ideas to present to you, but I want to spend another 45 seconds having you invent what you will do. Now, maybe what you're inventing is something you just heard from me, but I want to have you take the time, whether you're listening to the call live or recorded, this next 45 seconds, pause again and write down, I intend to, or I will, or I promise, because otherwise, it's just going to be an hour that won't make much difference. And I know you don't want that. I sure don't want that. I want this hour to really make a difference for you. So please take 45 seconds now. Think about all that you've heard, all that you've thought in our 45 minutes together so far, or 48 minutes, and write down an intention or two. I'll listen to you in 45 seconds. Begin. I want to hear from two of you that haven't spoken. So please, if you have an intention that you're willing to let us all hear, to inspire us and to cement your intention, please hit *61 on your phone. I want to hear from two of you that I haven't heard from. I want to hear something that you intend to do differently to assist others to solve problems. There, I got two. Thank you very much. As soon as you hear that you're unmuted, say your first and last name and where you're calling from.
Bette Riddick, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I intend to clear clutter in my head and in my space so that I can be totally present for that individual that I'm assisting.
Oh, that's a really good idea. I love the space part, too, because sometimes we just clear clutter in our head. But, you know, I'm looking at my desk right now, and I get distracted every once in a while. It's more cluttered than usual. And my commitment is to be with all of you as fully and completely as I can, just like your commitment is to be with people that you're assisting. So please follow her advice and write it down as one of your commitments to clear clutter from your head and from your physical space. Thank you. Next person, what do you intend to do differently? First and last name and where you're calling from. Go ahead. Hello? Well, I've unmuted somebody, but maybe they've got their own phone on.
I'm here. Dave, this is Elliot in snowy Colorado. I wrote down that I intend to be more patient and let people tell their whole story, knowing that often the solution to their problem is in there.
Yeah, very good.
Somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Elliot. That's a great thing for all of us to remember. Hey, it's in there somewhere. Here's some more ideas for how you can assist others to solve problems. In a coaching role, is ask the other to generate even more solutions. I already said that one. Next one, continue to polish up and send back every solution. And you really, you hear it, you affirm it, and you give it back. Now, eventually, I'm really down low on my list, so I'm saying eventually you add solutions to the other. And when you add them, because you want to add some, that'll help the other person think. But when you add solutions, wait until they've gotten a lot out on their own. And then add lots of solutions. Don't add just one or two, because if you add just one or two, the person is likely to go away from you feeling like you just gave them the answer. And that's not going to be valuable, because they don't want your answer. They want their own answer. But they do sometimes want your help. So add lots of solutions, and sometimes contradictory ones. Sometimes I'll tell people, well, you know, one thing you could do is you could just go in and just lay out exactly what you think to your boss. That'll probably help. Or here's another idea. Just don't even talk to your boss for a few weeks. Now, a person shakes their head and they say, wait a minute. You want me to talk to my boss or not talk to my boss? What should I do? I said, yes. Do one of those or the other. I'm just trying to help you think. I'm doing this to foster your creativity. Now, let's say you've got some good solutions, though. We'll present those also, but be real unattached to them. So you don't give them, like, advice, telling them what to do, or direction, or a recipe, but you just throw them out, well, or you could do this, or you could do this, or you could do this. And you're just doing that to help them think. You could even be part of their brainstorm. We talked earlier about brainstorming. Well, you could brainstorm with them. I often play the back and forth game. Many of you have been to my workshops and trainings where I teach people about coaching, like we will do in the January event and advanced coaching, and you've seen me do this a lot. I'll say, okay, let's play a game. You think of a solution, and I'll think of one. Then you think of one, and I'll think of one. And we go back and forth like that. Now, always writing them down. And I always try and make my solutions to be some good ones, but you know, I want my solutions to not be as good as theirs, frankly. But sometimes I just think of a really good one, so I present that too. You can do this back and forth game, not just with one solution and one and one and one, but you can even go two. I say, hey, how about you give two ideas, I'll give two. Then you give two, and I'll give two. But now, remember, this is a process of generating a lot of solutions. You don't want to do that and then come up with three or four and then stop. Because if you leave the other person with just three or four of your good ideas, they'll probably walk away thinking you gave them advice or you told them how to solve it. Now, ever give advice? Well, sure. I mean, I give advice all the time, but not as a coach. It's not coaching when you give advice. It's consulting, it's advising, it's mentoring, it's directing, it's managing. It's not coaching. But coaching is assisting others to think for themselves. Advice, sharing your best thinking. And I recommend saving that as a last resort. And then don't call it coaching. So that's really my next idea, which is, yes, you eventually do give advice, maybe. But don't call it coaching. Now, what if you can't think of any solutions? Well, you can go back to our last call where I presented 28 ideas, really good ideas for problem solving, and you can use some of those. For example, one of the ideas that I didn't present last time, but I like, is to recommend more of the problem. For example, let's say the problem is the person can't sleep. Well, one crazy idea you can throw out is to stay up longer. It's actually a very powerful psychological tool. Let's say that they're drinking too much. Well, would you recommend drinking more? Let's say they're drinking too much alcohol. Recommend drinking more? Absolutely. I mean, in a safe, controlled way, but I've heard this from many an alcohol counselor. You know, for a while, you don't drink more forever, but in other words, you immerse the person in the problem, in the symptoms of the problem, so they can more fully experience the consequences. Working too hard? One of the wild ideas you could give them is to work more and harder. Too heavy, too fat, too big? Eat more for a while. Because the reason to do this idea, is to gain control over the problem. See, if when people learn that they can actually eat more, then they realize they can eat less. When they learn and really deeply experience they can work more, they realize they can work less. When they realize they can stay up longer, they get sleepy, they realize they can go to sleep. My last idea. As a coach, once all these ideas have come up, then assist the other to prioritize the solutions. And let them prioritize them. I wouldn't vote. Don't vote at this point. Because you want them to train themselves into trusting their own wisdom. So have them prioritize the solutions and then leave with intentions. Which, of course, is just how I want you to leave this call. With intentions on how you will assist others, whether you're a coach or a leader, how will you assist others solve problems? We're about done with this call, and I would be remiss if I didn't invite you to join me in January, or I'm also going to do another training in April, the 19th through the 21st, or in July, the 19th through the 21st, or in October, the 18th to the 20th. Or in 2010, I'm going to do a training, January 17th through the 19th. These are all in Sonoma. It's a beautiful place. If you haven't been there, it's like people come from all over the world to go to this tiny little town in the middle of wine country, in the middle of the most beautiful area in California, some of the most fertile. It's great for growing grapes and vegetables and consciousness. I'd love to have you join me. And as I said at the earlier part of this call, and I know several of you weren't on when I said this, so I want to repeat myself, do not let money stand in your way. Do not let our tuition stand in your way. Call us up. Call Bill. Call Joanne. I gave you the numbers at the beginning. Write us, Dave at Falling Awake, Dave at DaveEllisLeadership.com, or Joanne at DaveEllisLeadership.com, or Bill at DaveEllisLeadership.com, or Peter, Dave Ellis Leadership. Just check it out. We'd love to have you. And it's a time to do exactly what we've done in this call, which is to think first yourself and then create powerful intentions that will change how you interact with the people you lead and the people you coach. Thanks very much. I love the interaction. We've been together for 1 hour. I know I ran over last call. You can listen to the last call. I'll send you instructions again tomorrow if you've missed those about how to listen to this. And as I mentioned, please give me some feedback. I love to hear from you. I noticed a couple of you, Scott, thank you, Grapevine, thank you. A couple of you tried to message me. For some reason, I didn't get them. But continue to give that a shot. And I look forward to talking to most of you again in 2 weeks from tonight when we're going to look at advanced coaching skills to be used either as a coach or as a leader. So just for fun, I want to take you all off of mute so I can hear your voices. So when I take you off mute, would you just say goodbye to one or two people? And this is a lot like an old TV program that I used to like to listen to, and this way I can hear your voice. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Joanne.